The dash radar let out a high-pitched tone that coincided with a speed of 48 in the 35-mile-per-hour zone. However, little did I know that in just a few moments, I would be in a fight for my life that was nearly a career-ending tragedy. I spun around on the suspect vehicle as it drove past and followed it only a few short blocks to where it turned abruptly into the driveway of the suspect driver's home. At that point, I made a sequence of safety mistakes that would lead to an ass-kicking and what could have been my untimely death. I didn't call out my traffic stop on the radio. Nobody knew where I was or the peril I would soon be in. The driver, Juan Rico, was the lone occupant of the car. It seemed as if we both jumped out of our cars at the same time as I yelled out to him, "Sir, have a seat back in your car." He yelled, "Fuck you!" Rico turned around and began to walk toward the front door of his house. I followed him to the front steps and told him I needed to see his driver's license. He gestured again, motioning with his hand behind his back for me to go away. I knew I wasn't going to let him enter his home, and I was hell-bent on arresting him for failing to display his driver's license. I could feel the adrenaline rushing through my body with every step. My heart was pounding, and tunnel vision intensified. I focused only on Rico's left wrist. As soon as he stepped up on the three small steps to his home, I grabbed onto his left wrist in an effort to stop him from going inside. The next thing I remember seeing was a flash of light, and I felt a shock to my face that knocked me backward. Rico had his arm wrapped around my neck in a chokehold and was punching me repeatedly in the face. My efforts to strike back were totally ineffective as he kept punching me and punching me in the face. The blood gushing from my nose is what saved my life at that moment. It caused my head to slip out of Rico's grasp. I stumbled backward, away from him. I was just trying to get away. Knowing I needed help, I pulled out the portable radio on my gun belt, with no shoulder microphone attached, and screamed for help. "County 322, I need backup!" I was stumbling backward as Rico charged after me and attacked again, this time pushing me backward at my chest and pinning me against the hood of the patrol car. He was punching me in the chest, neck, and face. I rolled away to my right side and landed on the ground on my right hip. I remember telling myself, "Get up and fight this motherfucker!" As I stood up on my feet, Rico was about 10 feet away from me, still at the front of my cruiser. He seemed to be out of breath also, and was bent over, leaning on his knees with his hands. That's when I thought to myself, he's too strong, and he's going to kill me if he gets hold of me again. Wiping the blood out of my eyes, I couldn't feel my face, but I could feel pieces of broken teeth in my mouth. My tongue was split open, and my whole body felt numb. I thought to myself, I'm going to have to shoot this guy. In that same moment, I pictured what the headlines of the local paper would read. Lawrence police officer guns down unarmed Mexican. Later, I found out that this was the worst possible thought I could have ever imagined. The thought of legal ramifications or liability in a life and death struggle should never have entered my mind. And I blame these self-destructive thoughts on my lack of realistic, scenario-based training. The thought of shooting Rico immediately vanished, and I ran toward him, not even knowing what I was going to do. I grabbed him around the back of the head and delivered the knee strike of a lifetime to his face, which knocked him out cold. That was my chance to get the cuffs on this fucker. I finally had control. Time sped up again. I was finally on the attack. I remember handcuffing Rico and then being hit on the back of the head by some object, but I had no idea what. It turned out that Rico's wife had come running outside and hit me with a broom handle. I pushed her down into the snow and found my radio next to me. I yelled into the radio again, "County 322, I need an ambulance! For me!" I passed out on top of a still unconscious Rico at the back door of my cruiser. Then I remember being moved. I could tell I was being backboarded. Lawrence Quick Response team member Rick Leonard kept telling me, "Todd, you're going to be okay. Just relax. You got him, you got him." And looked over to paramedic Jim Nelson. I remember telling him, "Fuck this shit. I'm quitting. For $8.32 an hour, fuck this shit." Jim leaned over me and said, "Todd, you can't quit. You're a cop. This is what you know, man." I just lay there, silent, thinking of my life and how I had fucked up. Still, I agreed with Jim. I glanced over at him. "You're right. I'm a cop. I can't quit."